Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avraham Goldhar, and today we're Maseches Pesachim Daf Ayin Dalet, the seventh parak, Ketzad Solin. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, there's Malchokas in the opening mission of the seventh parak regarding the method of roasting the Pesach. Rabbi Yosef Glili says, Mevin Shepun Shel Rimon, V'sochav L'soch Piv Ad Beis Nekuvaso. We bring a spit of pomegranate wood and thrust it into the mouth of the carcass until it passes through its bottom. And one places its severed legs and its entrails inside it. Rashi explains that this is done to compare with the pasuk Tzli Eish, Rosho Akrav Valkirbo. Fire roasted its head with its legs and its entrails, which implies that these parts are to be roasted together with the body. Rabbi Kiva says, Kamim Bishu is that. This is considered a form of cooking, Eloton Chutzala. Rather, we hang the legs and entrails from the outside of the carcass. Now, the Gemara brings up Brisa where it was taught Rabbi Shmuel would call the roast of Pesach Tuch. He held with Rabbi Yosi Aglili that the entrails were roasted inside the body cavity, and they would make the sound of tuch, like food boiling in a covered pot. Rabbi Tarfon called the carbon Pesach Gidi Makulas, a helmeted kid. He held with Rabbi Kiva that the legs and entrails were placed on the spit above the head of the animal, resembling a helmet on the head of a warrior. Point number two, the Mishnah state that one uses a Shepud Shel Rimon, a spit, a pomegranate wood for the roasting of the Pesach. Now the Gemara asks why a metal spit isn't used, and answers, Adi Docham Miksaso Cham Kulo. Since a part of the spit becomes hot through exposure to the fire, all of it, including that which is covered by the carcass, will become hot. The Kamitve Machmas Ashbud, and the carcass will be partly roasted on account of the heat of the spit rather than the fire itself. Rachman Amar Tzli Eish, Velo Tzli Machmas Davar Acher. And the Torah states the Pesach must be roasted by fire and not roasted on account of something else. The Gemara continues to explain that the reason why the spit cannot be brought from other woods, such as palm wood, fig wood, oak, carob, or sycamore, is that they secrete liquid, the havli kamavushal, and it's as though the Pesach was cooked. And point number three, the Gemara teaches that whenever Rav Acha and Ravina disagreed, Rav Acha was the one with the more machmir opinion, and Ravina was the one with the more makel view. And the Lacha always follows Ravina Lakula, except for three disputes, where Rav Acha is more lenient and the Lacha follows his opinion. The first dispute was regarding Umsa Da'asmik, a piece of meat that turned red on account of blood oozing from a vein. If one cut and salted it, it's permitted even for cooking in a pot. The cutting helps the collected blood escape more readily. If one roasted it on a spit, it's permitted for consumption because the blood flows out during the roasting. If one placed it on hot coals for roasting, one of them forbids it because the heat of the coals, mitzmitzamis, makes it shrivel, causing it to retain the collected blood. The other permits it because mishav shayiv, the heat draws out the blood. The lacha is that the heat draws out the blood. So once again, the three points are, number one, there's malchokas in the opening mishnah of the seventh parak regarding the method of roasting the Pesach. Rabbi Yosef Glili says, Mevin Shepun Shel Rimon, V'sochav L'soch Piv Ad Beis Nekuvaso. We bring a spit of pomegranate wood and thrust it into the mouth of the carcass until it passes through its bottom. And one places its severed legs and its entrails inside it. Rashi explains that this is done to compare with the pasuk Tzli Eish, Rosho Akrav Valkirbo. Fire roasted its head with its legs and its entrails, which implies that these parts are to be roasted together with the body. Rabbi Kiva says, Kamim Bishu is that. This is considered a form of cooking, Eloton Chutzala. Rather, we hang the legs and entrails from the outside of the carcass. Now, the Gemara brings up Brisa where it was taught Rabbi Shmuel would call the roast of Pesach Tuch. He held with Rabbi Yosi Aglili that the entrails were roasted inside the body cavity, and they would make the sound of Tuch, like food boiling in a covered pot. Rabbi Tarfon called the carbon Pesach Gidi Makulas, a helmeted kid. He held with Rabbi Kiva that the legs and entrails were placed on the spit above the head of the animal, resembling a helmet on the head of a warrior. Point number two, the Mishnah state that one uses a Shepud Shel Rimon, a spit, a pomegranate wood for the roasting of the Pesach. Now the Gemara asks why a metal spit isn't used, and answers, Adi Docham Miksaso Cham Kulo. Since a part of the spit becomes hot through exposure to the fire, all of it, including that which is covered by the carcass, will become hot. The Kamitve Machmas Ashbud, and the carcass will be partly roasted on account of the heat of the spit rather than the fire itself. Rachman Amar Tzli Eish, Velo Tzli Machmas Davar Acher. And the Torah states the Pesach must be roasted by fire and not roasted on account of something else. The Gemara continues to explain that the reason why the spit cannot be brought from other woods, such as palm wood, fig wood, oak, carob, or sycamore, is that they secrete liquid, the havli kamavushal, and it's as though the Pesach was cooked. And point number three, the Gemara teaches that whenever Rav Acha and Ravina disagreed, Rav Acha was the one with the more machmir opinion, and Ravina was the one with the more makel view. And the Lacha always follows Ravina Lakula, except for three disputes, where Rav Acha is more lenient and the Lacha follows his opinion. The first dispute was regarding Umsa Da'asmik, a piece of meat that turned red on account of blood oozing from a vein. If one cut and salted it, it's permitted even for cooking in a pot. The cutting helps the collected blood escape more readily. If one roasted it on a spit, it's permitted for consumption because the blood flows out during the roasting. If one placed it on hot coals for roasting, one of them forbids it because the heat of the coals, mitsamis, makes it shrivel, causing it to retain the collected blood. The other permits it because mishav shayiv, the heat draws out the blood. The lacha is that the heat draws out the blood. All right, so now we go to our siman for ayin dalet, and the siman is an aid, a witness. So here goes. The witness saw the bandit wearing a large Gidi Mekulis helmet and wielding a pomegranate spit, threatening the person sitting peacefully roasting his meat on coals. Once again, in slow motion. The witness, that must mean Ron Duff. Ayin dalet. The witness saw the bandit wearing a large Gidi Mekulis helmet, which reminds us there's a malchus regarding the method of roasting the pestle. Rabbi Yosef Glili says, we bring a spit of pomegranate wood and thrust it into the mouth of the carcass until it passes through its bottom, and one places its severed legs and its entrails inside it. Rashi explains that this is done to comply with the pasuk Tzli Esh Rosha Al Krov Val Kirbo. Fire roasted its head with its legs and its entrails, which implies that these parts are to be roasted together with the body. Rabbi Kiva says, Kibin Bishul is that this is considered a form of cooking, Elatoin Chutzala. Rather, we hang the legs and entrails from the outside of the carcass. And Rabbi Shmuel would call the roasted Pesach Tuch Tuch, because he held that Rabbi Yossi agreed that the entrails were roasted inside the body cavity, and they would make the sound of tuch tuch, like food boiled in a covered pot. Rabbi Tarfon called the carbon pesach Gidi Mekulis, a helmeted kid. He held, like Rabbi Kiva, that the legs and entrails were placed on the spit above the head of the animal, resembling a helmet on the head of a warrior. So the witness saw the bandit wearing a large Gidi Mekulis helmet and wielding a pomegranate spit, which reminds the Mishnah said that a pomegranate spit was used. The Gemara explains the reason a metal spit is not used, since a part of the spit becomes hot through exposure to the fire. All of it, including that which is covered by the carcass, will become hot, and the carcass will be partly roasted on account of the heat of the spit rather than the fire itself. And the Torah states, Tzli Eish, v'lo tzli machmas davar achir. The Pesach must be roasted by fire and not roasted on account of something else. The Gemara goes on to explain that the reason why the spit cannot be brought from other woods, such as palm wood, fig wood, oak, carob, or sycamore, is that they secrete liquid, and it's as though the Pesach is cooked. So the witness saw the bandit wearing a large Gidi Mekulis helmet and wielding a pomegranate spit, threatening the person sitting peacefully roasting his meat on coals. Which reminds, the Gemara teaches that whenever Rav Acha and Ravina disagreed, Rav Acha was the one with the more machmir opinion, and Ravina was the one with the more makel view, and the halacha always follows Ravina, lilkula, except for three disputes where Rav Acha is more lenient and the halacha follows his opinion. The first dispute was regarding umsa da'asmik, a piece of meat that turned red on account of blood oozing from a vein. Now, if one cut it and salted it, it's permitted even for cooking in a pot. The cutting helps the collected blood escape more readily. If one roasted it on a spit, it's permitted for consumption because the blood flows out during the roasting. But if one places it on coals for roasting, one of them forbids it because the heat of the coals makes it shrivel, causing it to retain the collected blood. The other permits it because the heat draws out the blood. And the halacha is that the heat draws out the blood. So once again, the witness saw the bandit wearing the large Gidi Mekulis helmet and wielding a pomegranate spit, threatening the person sitting peacefully roasting his meat on coals. All right, now it's time for a four blah back Chazara. Daf Ein. So the Simmer Daf Ein is a one-eyed Martian. So here goes. The one-eyed Martian, that must mean Ron Duff, Ayin. The one-eyed Martian was told that a Pesach and a Chagiga are treated the same, which reminds us that Rav once taught Techia, his son, that Ben Tema's reason for holding that a Chagiga is like a Pesach and that it's eaten only one day and the following night is based on the Pasuk, V'lo yalin v'boker zeva chag ha-Pesach. And you should not leave over the offering of the chag ha-Pesach until the morning. Zeva chag, ze Chagiga. The words offering the chag refers to the Chagiga, ha-Pesach, ze Pesach. The word ha-Pesach refers to the Pesach. And the end of the Pasuk states about both of them, V'lo yalin, you should not leave over. The Gemara goes on to determine that Ben Tema holds that a Chagiga is similar to the Pesach in that it needs to be eaten roasted and must come from sheep or goats. And it's inconclusive whether Ben Tema holds that mitzvah not to break a bone of the Pesach also applies to the Chagiga. So the one-eyed Martian was told that a Pesach and a Chagiga are treated the same by some guy in the south who lived with his son, which reminds us that Yehuda ben Dortai moved to the south with his son, because he held the Chagiga was also Docheh Shabbos, and since he knew that he would not be permitted to bring it, he moved to a distant place to exempt himself. Rav said the ben Dortai based his opinion on the Pasuk v'zavach the Pesach Hashem al-kecha tzon u'bakar, you shall slaughter the Pesach to Hashem, your God, flocks and cattle. Now, tzon refers to the Pesach, and bakar refers to the Chagiga, and the Pasuk implies that the Chagiga has the same din as the Pesach. Rav Ashi explained that the pasuk can be taught according to Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabba Bar Avo, that since the pesach cannot be brought from Bakar, the pasuk is coming to teach about Moser Pesach, Yeladavra Abba Minatzo Minat Bakar, the leftover pesach, that it should be brought as a carbon that comes from all types of flocks and cattle, meaning a shlamim. Rashi explains that a leftover pesach was one that was lost and subsequently found after another one was brought. It's offered as a shlamim, or the person was makdish money to purchase a pesach, and then the pesach decreased in value, so the extra money is used to purchase a shlamim. So the one-eyed Martian was told that a pesach and a chagiga are treated the same by some guy in the south who lived with his son, was informed by the rabbis that chagiga is different and not docher Shabbos. Which reminds us that the Gemara asks why the Rabbanan held that a chagiga is not docher Shabbos. It's certainly a carbon seaborn, so much that it's brought en masse. Rabbi Eli said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda ben Sefer that with reference to bringing the chagiga on Sukkos, the pasuk states v'chagosim oso chag l'Hashem shivas yam v'shana, and you shall celebrate it as a holiday for Hashem 7 days of the year. Now, are there only 7 days on which the chagiga can be offered? Clearly, there are 8 days of the chag, and yet the pasuk leaves out 1 day. So from here, we see that a chagiga is not docher Shabbos. Daf Ein Av. So the Simran Ein Av is a donkey going E-R. E-R, we use a donkey driver. So here goes. This simple donkey driver, that must be on Daf Ein Av. This simple donkey driver was disheartened when he's told the Shlamim he shakti before Yantav could not be used for his chagig or a simcha, which reminds that Ula said in the name of Rabbi Lazar that a voluntary Shlamim which one shakted erev Yantav, if he delayed eating until the next day, he doesn't fulfill his chiv to partake of a Shlamim simcha, nor his chiv to bring a chagiga. The Gemara explains that the already shakted Shlamim cannot serve as a Shlamim simcha, for it's written regarding the Shlamim simcha v'zavakta v'samach, then you shall shakt the Shlamim and rejoice, be in zvicha v'shas simcha v'leika. We need the shchita to occur at the time of simcha, in this case it does not, for the Shlamim which is brought before the chag. Likewise, he cannot fulfill his chiyah for the chagiga because havi davish bechova. B'chod davish bechova ain't a balu min achulin. For the chagiga is something which is mandatory, and it's a call that any mandatory offering may come only from unconsecrated property. The Gemara later brings Rabbi and reported that Rabbi Lezer said that one would fulfill his chiyah for the shalmi simcha. So this simple donkey driver was disheartened when he was told the shlamim he shakti before yantav could not be used for his chagiga or a simcha. His chagiga emurim became possible from lina, which reminds Rav Kahana said we learned that the emurim, the chagiga of the 15th, become possible lina from the pasuk of lo yelin chel v'chagiyat boker, nor shall the fat of my chagiga remain all night until morning, v'samachle reishis. And next to this phrase, in the next pasuk, it states the word first, reishis. By mentioning first, the Torah means to say that this morning, of which the previous pasuk speaks, is Boker Rishon, the first morning after the Chagiga Shechted, not the second morning. So we see from here that the Emurim become Pusel at the dawn following the Shechita of the Chagiga. So this simple donkey driver was disheartened when he was told the Shlamim he Shechted before Yantav could not be used for his Chagiga or Simcha. His Chagiga Emurim became Pusel from Lina, and to top it off, he was about to be Toa B'Dvar Mitzvah, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that all other Zvachim that one Shechted as a Pesach, if they're the kind of animals that are not suitable to serve as a pesach, one's chayv achatus for shechting them on Shabbos. But if they're the kind of animals that are suitable for a pesach, Rabbi Eliezer says one is chayv achatus, since they're not in fact a pesach, whereas Rabbi Yeshua exempts him from achatus. Rashi explains that Rabbi Yeshua holds that a toa b'dvar mitzvah pater, one who errs and transgresses while attempting to perform a mitzvah, and who does in fact perform somewhat of a mitzvah, though not one that overrides Shabbos, is pater from achatus. In this case, the person did perform somewhat of a mitzvah, since most karbanis brought lo l'shmo are valid for their original designation. Rabbi Yezer holds Toh B'dvar Mitzvah Chayiv, one who errs in a mitzvah is Chayiv. Daf Ayin Beis. So the Simfer Daf Ayin Beis is a thick piece of cake. So here goes. After performing the bris on the wrong baby, the father was so distressed that he mistakenly ate from the spit of Noser meat instead of sacrificial meat. And then he brought a thick piece of cake to his Yavama instead of his wife. Once again in slow motion. After performing the bris on the wrong baby, the father was so distressed that he mistakenly ate from the spit of Noser meat instead of sacrificial meat. And then he brought a thick piece of cake. Thick piece of cake? That must mean we're on Daf Ayin Beis. After performing the bris on the wrong baby, which reminds us, the Gemara challenges whether Rabbi Yeshua holds that wherever the mitzvah has a kitzvah, has a limit, the person would be chayav achatas, based on a Mishnah on Shabbos, where Rabbi Yeshua holds that if one had two infants, one to circumcise on Erev Shabbos and one to circumcise on Shabbos, and the person forgot and circumcised the Erev Shabbos infant on Shabbos, he would be pater, since he was Toh B'dvar Mitzvah. He erred while attempting a mitzvah. So Rabbi Yami answered that at the time he circumcised the infant, there was still the Shabbos infant that preoccupied him, whereas in the case of the tummy, it had already been offered. Therefore, there was no longer a mitzvah to preoccupy him. So after performing the bris on the wrong baby, the father was so distressed that he mistakenly ate from the spit of Noser meat instead of sacrificial meat, which reminds us, Rabbi Shimon Lakish once said that if one confused the spit of Noser meat with a spit of roasted sacrificial meat, and he ate the noser, he's chayv a chatas. Rashi explains that although eating kadshim is a mitzvah based on the pasuk, v'achulo sam asher kupar behem, and they shall eat them, those who gained atonement through them, and the person erred while trying to perform a mitzvah, he's still chayv a chatas since no mitzvah resulted. So after performing the bris on the wrong baby, the father was so distressed that he mistakenly ate from the spit of noser meat instead of sacrificial meat, and then he brought a thick piece of cake to his yavama instead of his wife. Which reminds Rabbi Yochanan responded to Rabbi Shimon Lakish's statement by saying that if one inadvertently had relations with his wife while she was anita, he's chayv achatas, whereas if he inadvertently had relations with his yavama while she was anita, he's pater. So the Gemara asks, what's the difference between the yavama and his wife? In the case of the yavama, he performs a mitzvah yibum during the act, and in the case of his wife, he also performs a mitzvah of procreation. So why then is he chayv when having relations with his wife? So the Gemara clarifies that his wife was pregnant where there is no mitzvah of procreation, even though we learn from Rava, chayv adam usameach ishto bedvar mitzvah. If one sees that his wife desires him, he's chayv to give her joy with an additional mitzvah act. In this case, she was close to her veset, her menstrual period, when relations are forbidden. Therefore, the husband's intention could not have been to fulfill this mitzvah, and he's chayv achatas. Daf ayin gimel. So the symbol of daf ayin gimel is a giant ostrich egg. So here goes. The destructive coney like to crack giant ostrich eggs. Giant ostrich eggs? That must mean we're on daf ayin gimel. The destructive coney like to crack giant ostrich eggs for no reason was dismayed when he saw the emurim of a shekta pesuk, no eaters, brought on the mizbech, which reminds us, Rav Huna bar Chinina said to his son that when he goes before Rabbi Zirikai, he should ask the following question. According to the one who says, Mekalka b'chabura pater, one who acts destructively on Shabbos is pater, how can the Mishnah rule shchatu shulolochav chayef? Matikan, one who sheks a pesuk on Shabbos for those who cannot eat is chayef, what improvement did he effect? This is a purely destructive act, which he should not be chayef for, according to this opinion. So the Gemara answered, Tikkun im alav yerdu. He improved the animal insofar that once its emurim have gone up onto the mizbeach, they should not go down. Therefore, the shkita has served a constructive purpose. So the destructive cone who liked to crack giant ostrich eggs for no reason was dismayed when he saw the emurim of a shekta pesuk with no eaters brought on the mizbeach. While grazing Asham on its way to be offered up as an Ola, which reminds us, Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, that if an Asham had been consigned to grazing and then someone shechted it before it had been developed a blemish with no specific intention, it's kasher as an Ola. So the Gemara asks that since we see that Rav holds Lo Boy Akira, that an offering's designation does not require a conscious Akira, rather its designation changes automatically, as Rashi explains that since now it stands to be used for the purposes of an Ola, there's no need to eliminate its previous status of an Asham, then even if the animal has not yet been consigned to grazing, it should be valid as an ola. The Gemara answer is gezer l'acha kapar atu l'ifnei kapar. It's a gezer d'rabban that if an ashim is shechted after the owner has received kapara, but before it's consigned to grazing, it's not fit as an ola, because otherwise people might think it can be offered as an ola even before the owner received kapara. So the destructive kohen like to crack giant ostrich eggs for no reason was dismayed when he saw the emurim of a shechted pesuk with no eaters brought on the mizbeach. While grazing Ashim on its way to be offered up as an Ola, saw the meat of an onerous Pesach being burned up immediately, which reminds us. Rav Chisda challenges Rav's view that a carbon does not require a kir based on the mission that states that if one shechted the Pesach on Shabbos and it then became known that the onerous had withdrawn from it, he's not liable to bring a chattis for being machal Shabbos. And a brice was taught in reference to the Mishnah that if there was a case like that on a weekday, is sarif meyad, an animal should be burned immediately. Rav Chisda said that if you say that a carbon does not require a kira, then at the moment owners withdrew, it was a shlamim. And the reason for its disqualification is because of an external factor, that it was shechted after the tamei shebein arba'im. If that's the case, the garment requires a change of appearance, meaning time should pass so the meat looks different from losing its moisture, it should not be burned immediately. The Gemara will bring a number of attempts to resolve the contradiction between Rav and the Braisa. All right, now it's time for a pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos, Shabbos, and Erevin. Number 1. Which have to learn that an Ashim shechted as an olav after his owner got kapara, but before it went to graze, would be fit if not for gezera, people would do it before the owner attained kapara. That's on daf ayin gimel. Good. Number 2. Which daf and why a shepud shel rimon was used and not a metal spit? That's on daf ayin dalet. Good. Number 3. Which daf is the malchus Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yeshua, whether a chag is either kulu Hashem or kulu Lachem or chetzi Hashem v'chetzi Lachem? That's on daf Samaches. Good. Number 4. Which daf and why Yehuda ben Dortai held that a chagiga is doker Shabbos? That's on daf ayin. Good. Number 5. Which daf do the malchokas Rabbi Yosef Aglili and Rabbi Kiva how the Pesach was roasted? That's on daf ayin dalet. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we learn that the emurim, the chagiga of the 15th, become puzzle with lina? That's on daf I know. Good number 7. Which of the women won a sky for eating a spit of noser meat, beshogeg, which she thought was kutching meat, since no mitzvah was accomplished? That's on duff. I am base. Good number 8. Which duff people cooks for Yosef Yehuda, whether one who mistakenly brings other karbanas as a pesach, which are of the same kind on Shabbos, is considered a tov b'dvar mitzvah? That's on duff. I know. Good number 9. Which of the women that one who shucks the pesach on Shabbos, so those who cannot eat it, has done something constructive in that once it's a mur and go up on the mizbeach, they should not be brought down. That's on duff. Ayin gimel. Good. Number 10. Which of the women that ben tamo holds that a chagiga is similar to a pesach in that it is eaten only for a single day and the following night? That's on duff. Ayin. Good. Now the 3 bonus questions. Number 1. Which of the women that rain does not acquire a makam shvisa in the clouds? That's on duff. Memhei and Erevin. Good. Number 2. Which of the women about Yitzhak's defense of Bnei Israel of 12 and a half years? That's on duff. Peites and Shabbos. Good. And number 3. Which of the women discuss Kol Isha and other forms of Erevah? That's on duff. Chavtahot and Brachas. Excellent. All right. That concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.